buckle up. It's showtime.
All right, come on. Let's finish this. Give it to me. Show me what you're made of. Show me what you've learned. Don't let me down, son. Everything I've taught you comes down to this. This is the only way that you can hope to survive. Because life is not a movie. Everyone lies. Good guys lose. And love does not conquer all. So let's do this thing. Let's finish it.
Welcome to the show again tonight, folks. You know what time it is. It is 1 minute after the hour right here on Resona Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is December 13, 2012, and a very, very special happy birthday to my nephew, Brandon. He calls himself something weird now, but it's like some – he's into like martial arts and sword fighting and stuff, so I'm not going to get into that, but he's my nephew, Brandon. He was one of the first – kids I ever taught multiplication to when he was a young child. So now he's a grown man. He's got two kids. He's quite grown now, and I miss him. I plan on calling him soon. So Brandon, if you're out there, which you promised me you'd be listening, maybe even tonight, if not in the future, you know, I hope to talk to you soon, and happy birthday and many, many more, of course. Folks, we've got it. Something that needs to be talked about today. And again, it's not something that I haven't discussed before. Although I brought it up in yesterday's program. And if you did miss yesterday's program, please go back and listen to the end of the 9 o'clock, right before the 9 o'clock hour. I'm going to put it up on Reese on the radio so you can hear the diatribe, if you will, that I gave about the nuances of black comedy during the age of Red Fox and Richard Pryor and Dick Gregory versus today and Jamie Foxx on a Saturday Night Live. You know, I kill all the whiteys and that's a good thing, sort of thing. But there's something else that's bigger that's happening, folks, today. And what it is today is the attack on blacks and women. And it is a new civil rights movement, folks. It is a new civil rights movement. And I think it needs to be discussed. It has to be discussed. Because whether or not you believe this or not, it's happening. There are blacks and women who are being attacked. And they are not receiving fair justice. Now, you might be thinking, is Reese going off the deep end? He sounds like everybody from MSNBC, for that matter. He's saying there's a war on women, there's a war on blacks. Are you confirming what it is that what we've been talking about forever? Are you on our side now? No. No, nigga, no. I'm not on your side. I'm telling you about something that you've been ignoring. There is a war on blacks in this country who will receive no justice. There is a war on women who will receive no justice because of whom or who is attacking them. Folks, do you know that there's a story in the Washington Post today about a woman who was beaten up by her boyfriend? She was beaten up by her boyfriend outside of a nightclub. He grabbed her and threw her into a trash can where she was bleeding from the face. And he was arrested and charged on felony assault for assaulting a woman. It was buried deep in the Washington Post today. Why? It's real simple. It was a Democrat's son. A Democrat's son. who committed the crime. A Democrat congressman that you know we've talked about here, Mr. Jim Moran. It is the same son, Patrick Moran, who was caught on videotape by Project Veritas, caught on tape helping an undercover journalist forge documents for voter registration. Another story that was buried. He gets on the news when he's caught red-handed on videotape, strategizing with Project Veritas on how it is that they can get people who are not going to show up to vote and get their private information and get them registered to vote for his father in the 2012 election. Nobody wanted to cover it. Only alternative media and Fox News covered the story. He was forced to resign after the story started picking up momentum. And now, just a day ago, Patrick Moran, son of Jim Moran, the liberal Democratic congressman, takes his girlfriend and tosses her into a garbage can, bloodying her nose. She will receive no justice. She will get no justice. Because they must protect their Democratic operatives in office. So in essence, the media says, screw you, bitch. You're just abroad. He's the son of a congressman. We're not going to bring any attention to your case, and if we do, we'll do it in a snippet. Nobody's going to read that story. They'll skip right over it. Look, we got harder news to cover, like whether or not Santa Claus is a Democrat. F you, bitch. You want to get some attention? Date a Republican. We'll wipe him all over the front page if he whips your ass. But a Democrat? Well, that's on you. F you, bitch. He's going to have to rape you in order for us to cover it. And then if you say he did that, we'll scrutinize your story. We'll spin it to make it sound like you might have some vengeance out because he's leaving you for some other hottie. We'll show up at your house and put cameras out there and see if we can get a statement from you. F the rape shield laws. Screw them. That's what you get, bitch. Come on. Who are you? And then there is the black man. Guy by the name of Clint Tarver. We talked about the Michigan rally that's been happening with the union workers out there thugging it up. One of them got their hands on Steven Crowder, whipped his ass, whack, 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 gave him a nice four-piece. But nobody heard about Clint Tarver, a black man, local businessman, selling hot dogs in the area. A group of big, burly white men, union members, who Barack Obama supports because he supports the unions and is against right-to-work states. These big white thugs beat the hell out of this black man, destroyed his privately owned business, took his hot dog cart, man just making a living selling hot dogs, and broke it down, dragged him out of a tent. Black man. And he wasn't serving hot dogs to just conservatives. He was in a conservative tent, but the man's just trying to make a living. F you, nigga. You serving hot dogs to them? And you ain't with us? What, you some Uncle Tom house nigga? Get your ass over here, nigga. Rip up your ish right now. You don't deserve nothing, nigga. And you can't run to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson because we got them niggas at boot right now. They ain't gonna help you. They don't care about you, nigga. You're ours. So we can F up your stuff anytime we want to, nigga. Now shut up and take it. Take your black ass home and think about what you did, nigga. This sound familiar to you? Yeah, I'm gonna go 1958. Nigga. This man's not gonna get any justice. Who covered the story? Who covered the story, folks? Oh, those racist mother effers over at Fox News. Yeah, that's right. NBC, ABC, CBS, the date cover, Clint Tarver, black man assaulted by a group of whites. Where's the Trayvon Martin part two we were looking for, or part three for that matter? White men beating up a black man? Destroying his business? What? This wasn't a story to cover? NBC, ABC, CBS said, F you, nigga. And don't you call Al Sharpton either. He ain't returning your phone calls. That's our nigga. Jesse Jackson, too, that's our nigga. We run them niggas. They do what we say. We could beat up all the niggas on this block. They ain't gonna say nothing. And we'll call you a nigga to your face and stomp you down. And you can't do nothing. Because the news ain't gonna report it because they're down with us too. Nigga. Here's the racist Fox News, folks.
Anything for being back with me now. I want to talk to you about a man named Clint. Clint's hot dog cart is apparently pretty famous in the area, and he was there selling hot dogs to both sides in this dispute, as I understand it. There's a picture online of him and his hot dog cart shown in tatters down all around him. And then there are some reports on Twitter, not independently confirmed by Fox, that some were shouting at him on the other side, the N-word, and calling him an Uncle Tom. Did you witness any of that? Can you confirm any of that?
I did. I was actually right there. I watched him as he crawled out from underneath the tent and was attempting to help get other people out from underneath the tent and also to save his equipment. You know, Clint's a gentleman, and he has been serving hot dogs to the people of the Lansing Capital area for many, many years. And so, you know, it was particularly disgusting to me to see him treated that way. He, you know, I went and asked him if he was okay. He said he was okay, but he did appear to be pretty shaken up.
Two white women over at Fox News. That racist effing Fox News covering the story. What did the liberals do? What did the liberals do, folks? Nothing. F you, nigga. You served a hot dog to a conservative, a Republican. Well, that pretty much opens the floodgates where we stand. Time to F up your stuff. This is the state of our union. Hey, my wife, white woman. Now let me haul off and whip her ass. Drag her down a flight of steps, throw into a garbage can and make her nose bloody. They'll rake my ass over the coals. And not because, just because I'm black. Oh, hell no. They find out that I'm a conservative? A radical conservative talk show host? Oh, nigga, you didn't know your place. But let me be a coon and buffoon for the Democrat Party. They'd have found a way to go to Mary Mary while you're bugging, and they would have gone, who'd you vote for in 2008? Who'd you vote for in 2012?
In 2012,
His co-host and wife, Mary, why you buggin', voted for Mitt Romney. Although her husband, who's a devoted Democrat, may have gotten to a dispute with her over politics. He a strong supporter of the unions and redistribution. She a radical white Irish Republican. Dragged that bitch down a flight of steps and threw into a trash can because she deserved it. News at 11. That's how they get down. And you fool-ass Negroes, you're not even smart enough to realize it. Not one of you niggas is smart enough to realize it. That's why I laugh at you. There is a war on women and blacks. And it's being done to you by your own people. Your liberal friends, the one you support, the ones that you believe in, that you sit down and watch the news with every night. Come on. Patrick Moran throws a chick into a garbage can, and because he's a senator's son, I'm sorry, a congressman's son, I apologize, a congressman's son, you put it in the back pages of the newspaper of the Washington Post? Does anybody remember Skakel? The Skakel case? Back in the days, that was a huge story. He ain't even a Kennedy. He's a Skakel, for crying out loud. He killed a girl when she was 15 years old. It happened over 30 years ago. It was big news. Here's a dude throwing a girl, a defensive woman, into a garbage can. Yeah, we don't want to report on that, okay? Just do as minimal of a report as you possibly can, okay? We'll report it so they can't complain, but don't put it out. I know this is a big story. He just got reelected. We really, really can't have this. Stupid Patrick. God damn it. God damn it. If this becomes major news, what the hell? All right, just report it. Put it in the byline. Put it in the byline. F you, bitch. That's all they're saying. Oh, next time, listen, date a Republican. If he whips your ass, I swear to God, front news. We'll get you all the support you need. We'll get you on Dateline and a whole mess. Yeah, you effed up. He's a Democrat. His pops is a congressman. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. All right, but you look all right. Don't worry about it. You know, that scar will heal. It's all right, bitch. You'll be fine. Clinton Tarver. No, nigga, you effed up. Sorry, nigga, you effed up. You gave a conservative. You gave a Republican a hot dog, man. Yeah, they're the opposition. You should know better, nigga. Look, it's not about how much money you make. You only make money with your people, okay? All right, if you sell it to some niggas and you sell them to us, but don't you sell it to them, nigga. If we catch you doing it, we'll eff you up again. You understand me? All right. Now let's bring in Magneto, because I think it's important that we bring in this black man to hear what he has to say. The number's 347-308-8701. If you got the guts to call, because I'm on a tirade today. I got Susan Rice on the dossier coming up real soon. We got some audio from NBC News and ABC News on that. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll talk about that nigga bitch when we get at it. I will be destroying her. Punk ass dropped out. We'll get into that in a minute. Let's go to Magneto. What's up, my man Magneto? Welcome back, sir.
That's peace, Reese. Yes, all that's peace. Hey, yeah, that was some real focused information there, right? Yes. Hey, look, so, you think that was the Democrats that beat them up?
Dude, it was union workers, and union workers give 90% of their money, of all unions, my friend, all unions. 90% of their money goes to Democrats. 90% of the union dues in this country go to Democrats. And those unions are fighting against a Republican governor who just signed into law, Michigan as a right-to-work state.
Okay, look. I think Gordon Duff had did a little piece on that. Okay. Look, yes, you've been on Veterans Today recently for the
say
last couple of days. Veterans Today, Gordon Duff.
No, I have not been on there today. But explain to me what it is that he wrote.
Hey, look. With the movie Jericho, have you ever been watching that little series when it was coming out? I never watched it. I just got into it through Gordon Duff, right?
Right.
Jericho. You know what that's about, right?
Well, I'm not really familiar with it. That's why I'm asking you to explain it to me.
Okay. Well, this the issue right here. Okay, I'm gonna start right here because I ain't know which way to go because this thing's so huge, Reese.
Right.
Have you heard about the press release that Barack Obama released November the 21st?
Okay.
Have you checked it out?
No. What's the press release related to?
Oh, look. Turn to it, and you can build with it with the family, right, for a short before you go into your other stuff, right?
Okay.
Look, it said AIPAC, decapitators in the government.
Okay,
now,
so you're talking about the Jews again.
No, it's not a Jewish thing. It's not a Jewish thing.
Hold on, Magnus. I think this is important that you and I square this up real quick.
Yes, sir.
And I think it's important that you and I square this up real clear.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
As a black man, this is what I sense from you.
Okay.
You think like Hitler thought. You think, yes you do. Please, don't deny.
Good or bad.
No, I don't know. But I'll tell you, in my opinion, Hitler was an asshole. And let me explain to you why.
Yeah, he figured he got played at
the end. Let me tell you why Hitler was an asshole. Because the blood of the Jew flows through the mother to the child. You know that, right?
That's what they say.
That's right. Hitler's mother was a Jew. She was a Jewish whore. A whoa. And he resented his mother. He resented his lineage. He was what a lot of niggas call self-haters.
Mm.
And what he could do was express to the German, having been a Jew, I know that they are rats. Look at my mother. My mother was a whoa. And they are rats. And it turned the country against them. Look at the jewels they have. Look at the wealth they have. Look at the things that they own. And look at you Germans. You ain't got ish. And we must take from them. We must eradicate them for what it is that they have. Their power. Their prestige. We must take it from them. And they walk around and they care about themselves. What do they have that self-love and that self that idea that they are the chosen ones above all? We are the Third Reich. We are Aryan. We are the superior race. That was his diatribe. And the Germans, they fell into that. Following a Jew to go kill Jews. Real smart the Reich was. Real smart. But that's not different from Stalin and Lenin. Lenin, who said that his voters were useful idiots. This is what comes from communism. And when you start spewing these diatribes on the Jews, a progressed people, a people who come from hardship, a people who come and understand their tradition, who know that they come from hardship, where they've been denounced, diminished, and destroyed, like fellow blacks, that they had a sense of urgency to understand the word of God and say, regardless of our trespasses, regardless of our struggles, we know that God loves us and we have decided that we will follow God, that we will believe in God. We will never doubt our God. And they never did. They didn't go around calling each other kikes and Jews and Jaimes. They uplifted their people. They celebrated their tradition. They took themselves from their ranks and lifted each other through their traditions. So when I see a group of niggas, as it were, niggas who done nothing but treat themselves like crabs in a barrel, have done everything to shoot themselves down, to call themselves niggas, to do everything to denounce their spirit and their heritage and their struggles, and have segregated themselves from that struggle and that history, to then look at the Jews and call them some of the most vicious and vile things, I laugh. Because I look at the Jews who have a Jewish state and the niggas who have Detroit and Chicago. Now, I compare and contrast. That's the way I do things. I love when I see these murals in the ghetto. There's one in South Jamaica, Queens, near my mother's home, that says, "We came from castles and pyramids." And the one thing that I respond to that is, and I say, yeah, you came from pyramids and castles and forts and all of these great places. And now you can't keep yourselves from pissing in the hallways and elevators. Niggas are a disgusting group of people, especially to ostracize a group that wants nothing more than to keep their traditions pure and to make sure that they all prosper under the rule of God. And people find something objective about that? People find something adversive about that? I laugh. I'll let you respond and take the last word.
Hey, Reese, I'm not too far off of that myself, right? yes, I agree. Yes, I agree.
Of course you do. How can you deny it?
Can't deny it, yes. Yes.
You can't deny that. Leave the Jews alone.
Yes.
The only thing they want, and I don't care what anybody says, the Jews want to make sure, I don't care who it is, that you do not destroy what it is that they have. They've earned what it is that they've had. Their sense of pride, their sense of dignity, they've earned it for what they've gone through.
They put the people out.
And hold on, it gets even worse than that. Just look at a map. Look at a map of Israel and its surrounding region. You look at Libya, Jordan, Egypt, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, where is it? Lebanon. All of those Arab countries who all say death to Israel. And you got a little slither of land no bigger than Long Island. A little slither of land that's no bigger than Long Island. And the countries that surround them call them the bullies. They call them the bullies. They've armed themselves to protect themselves, and they wish to grow, and they wish to prosper. And what everybody around them keeps saying, death to them. Now, I got to ask you, Magneto,
yes.
If you lived on a block where every one of your enemies lived, what would you do? Move?
No, I should have enough freedom to live where I want to live.
Goddamn right. You're goddamn right. And if they come on your doorstep and they start burning bags of ish, or if they're throwing Molotov cocktails, you going to fight back or you going to run like a punk? What you going to do?
Hey,
what you going to do? The whole block association wants your ass in a ringer. They won't come and fight you head on. They'll throw things at you from afar.
Yes, throw rocks.
They'll fire at you from a school building. And then when you fire back where they're hiding in the school building, oh, you destroyed the school. And then call you a bully. They slap you in the face and run, and you're supposed to stand there and take it. Would you do it? Or would you fight?
Man. Yes, I'm going to stand up. You know?
Damn right you're going to stand up. So why should the Jews be any different? Because you don't like them? That sounds just like my monologue at the beginning. Because here is that black man That black man is trying to take care of his family with his hot dog. A hot dog stand, my friend. A hot dog stand. He's trying to feed his family. And a group of white men walked up and said, did you just serve a hot dog to a conservative Republican who doesn't want us to get our taxpayer-funded pensions? I'm going to F your whole thing up. What should he do? This
yeah.
is all sense to you now, isn't it, Magneto?
Yes. Yes.
This is all making sense to you now. Because it hurts my heart for anyone to have blind faith in a hatred they know nothing about.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That's all I want to say. I'm going to let you get the last word before I go to break. Yeah. Go ahead. You take as long as you want.
All right. Hey, Rick, what I mainly would like for you to do, right, go to Veterans Today. Now, you know what these big C-130s look like, right? And,
Yes, I do.
Yes, where one of them been taken, many ass three been came up missing. Now, what we have in the military, to be real short, is a mutiny. That's why I want you to check out that press release that Obama took and made public, but it didn't hit the media nowhere.
Really? Okay, you know what? Hold on. This is what I'm going to do, because I'm going to put you on with JC when we go to a break. So stick around if you'd like to, because I'd like you to stick around if you can. Give the info to JC, and I'm going to have JC instant message me the link and everything, and you tell them where it is. But we'll take a break, and we'll come right back. Thank you, Magneto. Hold on. Let me talk to the wife real quick, because I know she wants to get on here real quick. Hello, my dear.
Hello, my love, Bob.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. Did you have something that you wanted to add, or were you just listening?
So what were you talking about, beating down a white woman?
I'll explain it to you when you get here.
Can I share a story with the audience?
You want to share the story with the audience before we go to break?
I'm gonna share a story with the audience before you go to break.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was living in Alabama, which that's where it sounds like Magneto is from. I was living in Alabama, and I was dating this black guy. His name is James Ruffin. Also known as Jamie Ruffin. So I was at his house. He was my boyfriend. I was his girlfriend. We had another couple, mutual friends that were there. We were all hanging out, having a good time, drinking, smoking a little bit of Mary Jane. Anyway, this was years ago. So I catch him sitting outside with his ex-girlfriend sitting in between his legs. And I was like, hold up. No, wait a minute. So, of course, I call him inside, and I'm like, you care to explain to me, like, what is going on? Why is your ex-girlfriend out here sitting in between your legs? So he's like, this is my house. Don't ask me no questions. He starts getting all rowdy and shit. So he gets rowdy. I get rowdy back. Well, he balls up his fist and punched me in my eye, split my shit wide open. I had to get him to take me home because I had no way else to get home. Finally got him to drop me off at home. My mother saw my eye and was like, oh, no, we're going to the police. I'm like, no, I'm not going to the police about anything. And she's like, we're going to the police. So she makes me go to the police. I go to the police in this little town, Athens, Alabama. Jamie Ruffin is a known drug dealer, a known troublemaker, known for violence, unbeknownst to my knowledge, but everybody else knew. So anyway, the police asked me who it was that did it, and as soon as I told them that it was James Ruffin, they were like, James Ruffin, the black guy James Ruffin, Jamie Ruffin, and I'm like, yep. Yeah. They're like, oh, well, we can't do nothing for you. That's what you get for messing around with a nigga.
All right. Now I'm taking a break. We'll be back.
the first year rap was done. The first time I saw a back was spun. I was in my living room practicing, watching the tube, back to light different strokes in the afternoon. Star race looked mean in the flick. Everybody who pumped coke back then was fiending for grit. 86, no fade, afro tops and no fade. Your whole ad was spot, seen lots of grit. Lee patches, Cassell glasses, suede pumas and rumors of rap not lasting. To the classic, 89 came through. High top fade, Taylor made Gucci.
Let's do it.
Jordan champ, Mike Tyson was amp. Reagan was the president, the border was a place to camp. Just think back like this, as you reminisce, reminisce.
Think back when Earth was thin, had the monster, baddest bitches, skin slick was never hunter.
Think back,
hit me open for Red City, Def Comedy Jam, an itty bitty titty committee.
Think back
when Martin was on, Jazzy Jeff, Fresh Prince, Summertime was the song.
Think back,
Buffalo was the spot, snitches got stitches, then you got jump set it in your shot.
Think back.
In your mind, a place and a time where we all can go. Don't need dough to shine. All you gotta do is be true to who you is. I'm original and God is my influence. Hip hop, bebop, jazz, rock, music, palladium and rooftop. Latin chord is booming. We keep it moving to the beats. Tuned into the streets. The rumors and the passages preach. Rap, I master, so I teach. Each I touch. Respect the power of the microphone in my clutch. Say, ma, the little boys all grown up. Hey, y'all, I told you all we got is. I love pops, he raised me on some good old soul. Marvin Gaye, Curtis Mayfield, and Nina Simone. Songs in the key of life to hold. When the streets get cold, always focus when I'm reaching for gold.
PNC right there, huh? Let no man take advantage of it. No bitch for that matter, you know
what I mean? This is for my 18 and under, 20 and over. Walking around with the weight of their clothes. And on his shoulders, look at me, 26-year-old, years unfold. Driving something for about a year old. Did the goal, set my game up to grade. Rosary, throwback, exclusives and A's. Seen holes and dough, come and go. Remembering the rain, the crack, and power of dope. Witness miracles of babies being born, niggas being killed. Niggas getting killed, babies born again. Showed you block love, techno, marine, brackling. The classy lockman, new Jacob thing. Thin, four, five, six, truck, navigator, Escalade. Bitches want dick. Took it from the end of 89 through 99. I'm a nigga 2000 and beyond.
Metal lock limit. Wood sevens on the guard neck, they the ghetto park reverend. Lee patches got snatched, D's in the hatchback, the E's nigga pass that. Benetton bag, nigga Doris. Niggas like, son, you fly, yo, I can't afford it. D-step niggas in the party, we tangled with anybody, jump in the train, punch guardian neighbors. Don't believe me, put a stack on it. Cops like, you can drink, put a bag on it, back in the day.
Back, yeah.
What's the day's mathematics? Saturday night specials now, what's automatic?
Think back, yeah.
When crack appeared, DDR got sold, shorty ass has disappeared.
Think back, yeah.
Ice dollar, Tigra, 8-4 coke, my man Earl Manigo.
Think back, yeah.
Karate flicks, Gucci chicks, favorite team, the New York Knicks.
Think back, yeah.
You know, see how rapidly things change and through the passage of time, yeah.
Think back, yeah.
We no borrow, we no lend, go tell them we are set friends.
Think back,
yo. Yo, old free nuts and rod, them just can't comprehend.
Think back,
yo. Yo, we said, even though the time keep changing.
Think back,
yo. Yo, 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 son, I'm never going uptown, 125, you know what I'm saying, in front of the power and shit.
You are not someone else. Someone else is someone else. You are you. It is you. You are you.
Slick Rick and Asher is on this jam. Slick Rick and Asher is on this jam.
You are you.
Slick Rick and Asher is on this jam.
Nothing I can do about this body I was given. I'm blind and I am skinny with my mom's McConnell skin. The Scottish side and my father's schnoz to go with it.
Nice nose.
My hair, yeah, I can try and dye it. And contacts could change the color of my eyes.
You are you.
That would only mean that I am lying and openly denying it's not who I am. I tried to be too big for my britches and couldn't, regardless of my kilo wishes. A couple more inches and I would be in business. business, but still I'm waking up 5:10 every Christmas.
You are you.
My fingerprints is what makes me different. It took a little bit, but I can finally admit it. This is my appearance, this is my face. Looking in the mirror, there is nothing I can change. Might be a little strange the way you can see my veins, but if we were all the same, the world would be plain Jane. It would be lame, you would never learn a thing. So go against the grain and let these people know your name.
You are you.
There's nothing that you can do about it. The one thing that I've figured out is
you are you.
Forget it, there's no way around it.
You are you. You are you.
There's nothing that you can do about it. The one thing that I've figured out is
you are you.
Forget it, there's no way around it.
Rick, the ruler.
All kids culprits, all getting a girl. Due to hip hop, invisible pulpit of the world, nothing to play with. Skipping all the way with it, conveying who we all are. How we all fit in this mosaic portrait. Feces of a brother, homosexual being last pieces of the puzzle. Or religion who read divine type verse. Could God want straight fucks get their mind right first? Then weed out legitimate seed crops. Fuss with hero wolf feet like intrigued wise. And politics harvest the chatter. Dissect good from garbage that a lot of.
You are you.
Not I doubt truth, but allowed to. What amounts to. That's just what adults do. Keeping with the pace of barbarian. Keeping gaudy jewels in the face of America.
You are you.
There's nothing that you can do about it. The one thing that I've figured out is
you are you.
Forget it, there's no way around it. There's nothing that you can do about it. The one thing that I've figured out is
you are you.
Forget it, there's no way around it.
You are you.
Besides, it's all about your mind, your will and your drive and what's going on inside. The size of your heart is what sets you apart. If you aren't using it, I suggest that you start.
You are you.
Think hard, take a walk around the block.
You are you.
It's cool if you're a nerd or a jock or a prep or a god.
Nobody gives a fuck.
There's nothing you can do, just stop.
Just stop, man.
Mad props since I linked up with knots. Still never wear socks, always in flip-flops. No chain or a watch, ain't be slanging no rocks. But my slang be the thing that be saving hip-hop.
He's good.
Screw the box, go outside the lines. Just be you, stop with the trying. And in due time, it is true you will find. There is nothing to remember if you never ever lie.
You are you.
There's nothing that you can do about it. The one thing that I've figured out is
you are you.
Forget it, there's no way around it. There's nothing that you can do about it. The one thing that I've figured out is
you are you.
Forget it, there's no way around it.
You are you.
So it looks like the White House changed CIA talking points that called the attack in Benghazi the work of Al-Qaeda. The teensy tiny edit they made, the Al-Qaeda reference became an act of extremism, which then fed into the spontaneous mob narrative that, thanks to Susan Rice, spread like an office cold. From there, more people died. So now we know who pushed the video, I think. Now the question is why, and will they tell us? They're trying hard not to. This is an administration suffering from word-a-phobia, fear of using language to accurately describe stuff. They still consider Fort Hood massacre workplace violence, which is like calling Ted Bundy a bad boyfriend. Video caused spontaneous upset is this week's euphemism for what we naively call terror. You've heard of doublespeak? This is triplespeak, designed to confuse the listener and hide unpleasant facts. But this isn't a George Orwell book, and four Americans are dead. So why this latest example of Obama speak? The timing. An Al-Qaeda attack before the election? That's like a jerk throwing up in the punch bowl. The whole Obama destroying Al-Qaeda story becomes shakier than an IKEA bookcase. So instead, let's blame an amateur video maker with about as much influence as a HuffPo blogger. In plain language, it's a cover-up. And so as the president talks about how great education is, he's really the great unlearner, meaning I get dumber every time I hear him, which is why the more he talks, the more I understand him.
Reese on the radio, and we are back 45 minutes, 15 to the top of the hour. right here on blogtalkradio.com, December the 13th, 2012. Again, I want to say happy birthday to my nephew, Brandon. Many more, my friend. I promise I'll give you a call this weekend to wish you a belated happy birthday. But, of course, I said it to you. I have Facebook now. I don't ever have to pick up the phone. Sometimes I don't like to talk. I'm not a phone guy. I have a cell phone that is costing my wife a crap load of money. The only person who calls me on it, JC and her. That's it. No one ever calls me on the phone. Hey, even my friend Sal, who's got my number, he don't even pick up the phone from time to time. It don't have to be every day, Sal. Maybe once, maybe twice a week. Call me up, see how I'm doing. You know, I'm bored sometimes, you know. Pick up the phone. Once a week, man. We're bros, man. We don't have to be on there cackling like 16-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like 16-year-old girls. We don't have to do all that. You know? Something interesting come up. You know... An idea, something, you know, you got an audio bit. You know, I play monologues on the show from movies or TV, you know, something like that. You know, you get an idea about, hey, you know, Reese, I heard something from a movie. You should get this clip, something like that, you know. I'm not asking you to be a contributor. Well, you are a contributor to the show. Who am I kidding? You are a contributor to the show. But you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, call up once a week. Hey, Reese, how you doing? Hey, Paisano. Hey, you know. Sal's texting me now. Let me see what he wrote. He's laughing, of course. Hey, folks, in my opening monologue, and again, I knew this was going to happen. Top story on Drudge Report today, folks. Top story on Drudge Report. Now, I watched the program that I'm about to pretty much feature here. It's a show called First Take on ESPN2. And it's normally, or at least the hosts, are supposed to be Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is from my hometown, Hollis, Queens. Hey, hey. No. Stephen A. Smith, I don't always agree with him. I think he's a little over-inflated, if you get my... No, wrong word. Not over-inflated, because he's earned it. He's earned his kudos. I shouldn't say that. That's wrong. I recant that, Stephen. The truth is, but let's just say you're a little overbearing. To put it nicely, just a little bit. But I love your analyst. I love you as an analyst. I think you're pretty spot on. You're pretty good. You don't always get it right, but I take some insight into what you have to say, and I think you're a pretty good talk show host, you know, if you will. But I think you're a little overstated, if you will. He's very, very bombastic. And I'm bombastic, and that's always been my style. But sometimes there's, you know, I'm annoying. But you're like... annoying. You know what I'm talking about, guys. Like, I'm annoying. But that's the premise. You're like, annoying. You know, like the kind of thing that people don't want to say. It's like, hey, nice guy, but he's annoying. Like, they'll say it behind your back, kind of annoying. That's the worst kind of annoying to be, Stephen. Anyway, so to get back to my point. Proving my point here, folks. Proving my point. On the show, First Take, they have a guy who replaces him, Stephen A. Smith, often on the show. And his guy by the name of Rob Parker. And he was on this morning. And I guess here's the audio. I'm going to see if I can play it here. Let's see if this...
I keep hearing this, so it just makes me wonder deeper about him. And I talked to some people down...
Hold on. Let me get this audio right. I don't know if I should tell you what the story is or play the audio first, but I'm gonna play the audio anyway.
Time and time we keep hearing this, so it just makes me wonder deeper about him. And I talked to some people down in Washington D.C., and my question, honestly,
friends of yours, right?
Friends of mine, right, who are around and in some of the press conferences, people I've known for a long time. But my question, which is just a straight, honest question.
Okay. Good. I'm glad he doesn't bring it up immediately. Okay, so Rob Parker, who's a fill-in host and a columnist at ESPN, is talking about Robert Griffin III, quarterback for the Washington Redskins, who I think, he's not phenomenal. I think he's a very good football player. And I like his personality. He can make a couple of quips here and there. He puts in a little bit of levity here and there. And he's very, very, I would call him somewhat introverted in a way. Not uncomfortably so. He goes out there, he talks, he communicates. He's not afraid of the press. He had a great line the other day when he, you know, when he pulled the almost tapped out the knee. And they asked him, when did he know that the knee was hurt? He says, when I screamed. And then he responded, like a man, of course. And, you know, everybody in the room laughed because he you know, had great timing. It was a good joke. So Robert Griffin III, because of the kind of guy he is, he doesn't go out there with sort of like the chip on his shoulder, if you get my meaning. And I'd say that about any quarterback or any player for the matter. I could name plenty who walk out there with a chip on their shoulder. You know? You know, Jay Cutler's got a chip on his shoulder. Who's another one? Who's another? I don't want to say Ryan Leaf. He was, you know, he's a moron in garbage. Aaron Rodgers can have a chip on his shoulder a little bit. Not a lot, but he does. You know, there are some players out there, you know who they are, especially defensive players. Those guys got a chip on their shoulder. But anyway, this is what this guy, Rob Parker, said about a fellow black man.
Time and time we keep hearing this, so it just makes me wonder deeper about him. And I talked to some people down in Washington, D.C., and my question, honestly,
friends of yours, right?
Friends of mine, right, who are around in some of the press conferences, people I've known for a long time. But my question, which is just a straight, honest question, is he, or is he a cornball brother?
What does that mean?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, he's not really. Okay, he's black, he kind of does the thing, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black, but he's not really like the guy you really want to hang out with because he's off to something.
Why is that your question?
Well, because that's just how I want to find out about him. I don't know because I keep hearing these things. We all know he has a white fiance, and it was all this talk about he's Republican, which there's no information at all. I'm just trying to dig deeper into why he has an issue, because we did find out with Tyler.
Did you hear that? This is a football player. This is a football player that Rob Parker, a black man, is asking. I've heard these things. I want to know whether or not he's black or he's a cornball brother. I understand he's got a white fiance. There's rumors that he's a Republican. He's not the kind of guy that you would hang out with. Magneto, do you understand? I'm educating you. That's what's happening right now, my friend. I'm educating you. I don't know whether or not I like you, Robert Griffin III, because you're not down for the cause, nigga. You got a white girlfriend. You might be a Republican. I don't know if I'm going to write very favorable things about you, nigga, because you're not down. A lot of dudes don't want to hang out with him because, you know, he's into other stuff, maybe like fishing or going over his portfolio. Maybe he has interests like golf and tennis. Maybe he's a hockey guy when he's not on the field. Maybe he likes scrapbooking. He's not nigger material. He's not our kind of nigger. Magneto, you want to hear it again? Huh? Huh? You want to hear it again? He's not one of you. Robert Griffin III, great athlete, Heisman Trophy winner, may go to the playoffs in his rookie year. He may win Rookie of the Year. Black man in the – since Doug Williams, my man. Since Doug frickin' Williams. Okay, and this is how another black man who's a sports writer is treating him.
Time and time we keep hearing this, so it just makes me wonder deeper about him. And I talked to some people down in Washington, D.C., and my question, honestly,
friends of yours, right?
Friends of mine, right, who are around in some of the press conferences, people I've known for a long time. But my question, which is just a straight, honest question, is or is he a cornball brother?
What does that mean?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, he's not really. Okay, he's black, he kind of does the thing, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black. But he's not really like the guy you really want to hang out with because he's off to something.
Why is that your question?
Well, because that's just how I want to find out about him. I don't know because I keep hearing these things. We all know he has a white fiance, and it was all this talk about he's a Republican, which there's no information at all. I'm just trying to dig deeper into why he has an issue, because we did find out with time.
And why he has an issue is, and it wasn't an issue, Robert Griffin, the only thing that he did was say, I don't identify myself that way. I don't identify myself as being an African-American. I'm Robert Griffin III. Deal with it. My name is Robert Griffin III. Deal with it. Now, before we go to the top of the hour, let me bring my friend Sally in. And Magneto, hold on. I'll get your word on this, but I'm proving my point here tonight. Sally D, what's up, Sally?
What's going on, Reese? You know, a long time ago, and I think it started off when we were talking about the election, I said that the election would be based on racial lines, ethnic
sure.
lines. And I remember you said, oh, you really think that? You really believe? And I don't know if you were just making for good radio, but, I mean, I don't believe that you don't believe that we are a nation that is divided by culture and race. I mean, you believe that, don't you?
Yeah, but you know what? But if we are, I don't think it had anything to do with the election, because in order for Barack Obama to win, he needed a significant amount of the white vote, and he was going to get all the black vote. When I say – whenever I talk about whether or not it's based on race, I'm talking about the most dominant factor in the election. And I look at it this way. With 211 million whites versus the 40, 41 million blacks, and then the 60 to 70 million Latinos in this country, even if he got all of the election of Latinos, which he only got 70-something, and he got 90 of African-Americans, he'd have never pulled it off. It had just been a matter of race. So he needed a large swath of the American community, which is predominantly white, to vote for him to take him over the top. Not a little bit, over the top. And it did take them over the top. See, people always tell you the numbers. They always go, 70% of Latinos voted for him. 70% of Asians. Asians only make up, like, what, 2% of the population? So their electorate is minuscule. It's nothing.
Okay, I'm with you, but I'm not, and I'll tell you why. There's one thing you're missing. The white vote that he got is primarily women. If you look at the breakdown of the white vote on the male side, he did horribly.
Of course. But wait. Hold on. How was he outnumbered? Was he outnumbered 60 to 40? No.
What do you mean? With the white male?
With white males.
Oh, it was way, way more than that. I don't have the numbers on me.
It wasn't 70?
Because we're getting too far afield. But we'll look, I'll actually check into that. Because I had heard
okay,
it.
Okay,
really because
it wasn't that large. It was at best, I mean, I know it wasn't 65-35 in the white males.
There were a lot of white males
who voted for Barack Obama, especially college students. You have to consider that.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah, I was more referring to the fact that the black community, Latino communities, during that election
were
voting.
Well, you're absolutely right. If I in any way was suggesting that it wasn't racial because I was talking in generalities as far as the entire electorate, no matter what their color was. Oh, yeah, but if you had asked me that question based on, don't you think that blacks and Latinos are just overwhelmingly going to vote for this president? Of course I would have totally agreed with you. I mean, there'd be no argument.
When you look
there.
At these kind of stories, so this story, Robert Griffin, this is the kind of thing that, I mean, you know, when you grew up, when you were 20, are you going to tell me that it wasn't the cool thing to do to disparage, you know, people that aren't from your neighborhood, and whether they're white or Asian or whatever it is? When you're younger, you tend to be more in line with what everybody else is doing and saying. You tend not to stand out, even if you have different opinions. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the fabric of who we are. Our communities are our communities. And, you know, you could know everybody in your community. When the new guy moves in, everyone's got the quote-unquote speculation about you, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. Who are they? What are they doing here? Where did they come from? Did they get kicked out of their old apartment? Are they bummy? Are they going to keep their yard clean? Because, you know, we got a community. You know, we got a block association, and we want to make sure that they're clean. What if they got a bunch of snotty-nosed kids? What if their kid is a murderer? They don't know. And that's, again, you ostracize everybody because communities are like that. People who have lived in neighborhoods for years and years and years, nobody likes a newcomer.
Yeah, and so I'm wrapping it up, but my main point is, so I get all that, but here's the part that makes me laugh. That does not apply when you're an ESPN analyst who's a professional, who deals in a professional environment, who has to go to meetings, who's part of the corporate food chain, and this guy's playing like he's all street saying he's a cornball brother. That is pandering. That's all that is. This guy's bullshit. I don't even know who he is.
But
it just doesn't seem legit to me.
To use the term, this is what makes me laugh, calling him a cornball brother, and this is, again, calling him a cornball is because he talks a certain way, he's articulate, he's eloquent, okay, and he doesn't fall in what's considered the makeup of niggerdom. And Rob Parker doesn't like people who don't have some niggerdom. That makes him comfortable. I need a black man with some niggerdom. And Robert Griffin won't express niggerdom for me, and that's what makes him cornball. He's got no swag. He can't talk like we talk. He can't do like we do. He don't want to party and hang out and chill. He don't call him and his boys niggas. He treats white people with respect. He's never angry. He don't have an attitude. That's niggerdom, and he doesn't have that. And I've got issues with that. And the worst part about it is that as an ESPN analyst, what makes this laughable is that as an ESPN analyst and a columnist, he has to break down things about Robert Griffin III as a football player, about his abilities on the field, not about whether or not he votes Republican. It's out of your wheelhouse, my friend.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It just seems so ridiculous. It doesn't, you know, who's he playing up to here? He's an analyst. It almost sounds like he wants to still be cool in the streets, you know, with his boys. It's just such, it's childish. It's ridiculous. But at the end of the day, this is what you hear, and this is why we still have this kind of talk. And, you know, the Jamie Foxx is making the kind of jokes he was making the other night. It seems to be a pretty popular thing going around. And,
they reelected. Here's the thing that makes it amazing, Sal. During the first election of the first African-American president in history, things became very, very racially divided. It got really, really – it started to groundswell. It got really, really heated and really, really debated. Things did not get better for the African-American community. They got worse. And then right up until the election, all you could hear is racism, racism, racism. Now he's won. And now it's almost like they've now been coronated, if you will, to now sort of say, yeah, now let's just go nuts. Now we've been confirmed. We've been congratulated, if you will, that this rhetoric works. It gets us what we want. Fever pitch right now. And that's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening.
Pretty scary stuff.
It sucks, but it's true. Thank you, man. I always appreciate it, my friend. You know I love you.
Have a good one.
All right, man. Have a good one. We'll go to the top of the hour. We'll be right back at Trees on the Radio.
You're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
You're going to risk our lives for a Twinkie?
There's a box of Twinkies in that grocery store. Not just any box of Twinkies, the last box of Twinkies that anyone will enjoy in the whole universe. Believe it or not, Twinkies have an expiration date. Someday very soon, life's little Twinkie gauge is going to go empty.
on the Radio, and we are back, top of the hour right here at 9:06, or 6 minutes after the hour, no matter where it is that you are in the country, on this December the 13th, 2012. I'm not going to wish Brandon happy birthday again. In essence, I already did, didn't I? Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, happy birthday to him. I just have to do it, folks. I do it for everybody's birthday, folks. This is what it is that I do, especially when they're family members. I always like to give them, I guess, will be considered a shout-out. So I wanted to do that. Like I said, Brandon's got a weird name going on. I couldn't even pronounce it today if I wanted to. Okay, folks, let's get into this. Susan Rice, UN ambassador. Susan Rice has dropped out. My friends, has dropped out of the race, if you will. It's not really a race, but she was possibly going to be nominated as the next UN, Secretary of State. And she has withdrawn her candidacy, or even in consideration for that matter, by sending a letter to President Obama today, roughly about 5 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time. Now, many people are asking, what was her reasons for doing this? And there is a lot of speculation out there, folks, about why would she do this now? Let me be the first to tell you, folks, don't believe squat. Not one inkling about what you are being told. Do not believe it. Now, I had some reservations about what it is that I'm going to say, because I was being, like, literally when I heard it, I went into, you know, that conspiracy theory mode. Now, again, conspiracy theories for me are very, very weird. I'm not this guy that goes, conspiracy theory. I'm not that guy. But I like listening to conspiracy theories. You understand what I'm saying? It's not sort of like I think everything is a conspiracy theory, but I like hearing about conspiracy theories, if that makes any sense. It's like I'm attracted to the conspiracy theory, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I guess that's the best way to put it. I don't involve myself in coming up with conspiracies and believing in them and going, yeah, man, this is coming. I don't do that. Although there are plenty who said that about my life. Many people believe that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, or more than likely Hillary Clinton, had something to do with my arrest back in 2008. A lot of people believe that. I've never, ever investigated it. There's never been any evidence to suggest it. But it was ironic. I just never, ever brought it up. But I'm interested in the conspiracy. I like hearing about it. So, the reason why I have my reservations is because I was saying, it's like, oh, well, we should sound like it's conspiracy theorists. No, not in this case about Susan Rice's resignation. Let me explain to you why. I know I'm right, and any other analyst today will tell you and can prove to you, all right, that they have no idea what they're talking about. Susan Rice decided to do this to broaden the specter of racism within the Republican Party. And it helps President Barack Obama further down the line. Pay very close attention to what I'm telling you, folks. Pay very close attention to what I'm telling you. I'm about to kick the knowledge, as they say in the hip-hop community. I'm about to drop some science. Kick the ballistics, G. I'm doing that. Here's the deal. All you've heard from Democrats during all the scrutiny of Susan Rice and the 5 Sunday talk shows and the talking points that she gave during those 5 Sunday shows about the video and about the Benghazi thing was a protest that then turned into an attack. All the Democrats have been giving her cover by screaming, racism and sexism. Racism and sexism. The Republicans are racist and sexist. Racist and sexist. Although they failed to mention one key element here, ladies and gentlemen. If the Republicans are racist and sexist, I'm going to go to one man, folks. One man that will completely destroy the suggestion of racism and sexism with the Republican Party. That man's name is George Walker Bush. Ha ha! George W. Bush never once had a white man as a Secretary of State in 8 years. Not once. There was no white man. Where was the white man? How could there be any racism in the Republican Party? Secretary of State's for 8 years were black folks. A black man and a black woman. One from Jamaica and another one from the South, the segregated South. General Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice. Now, all of a sudden, during the Obama administration, Republicans don't want to see a black woman be the Secretary of State? How? It's the answer to the big argument, folks. It's the answer to the Republicans don't want to see a black. Really? Really? Racist and sexist? Condoleezza Rice. Colin Powell. That's all you have to do. Just look every one of them, especially those folks at the Congressional Black Caucus. Colin Powell, white man. Condoleezza Rice. God damn it, her name is Condoleezza. It's a white woman to you. Who made them Secretary of State? Was that Clinton? How about Carter? What, all of a sudden out of nowhere in 4 years? Republicans just turned racist again? And sexist? How did that happen? Who's the Secretary of State under Barack Obama? Who did he elect first? He elected the white woman. And now he's a champion of women? He's just a champion of women? He elects Hillary Clinton? I guess that's a wrap then. It's over. Republicans get no dap. How ridiculous is that, folks? But see, Quinn, I want you to hear how ABC News did this today. ABC News tells this story. I need you to hear this. This is them.
President today, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Susan Rice wrote, quote, "The position of Secretary of State should never be politicized. I'm saddened that we've reached this point even before you have decided whom to nominate." And she shares the news on NBC.
"Because I didn't want to see a confirmation process that was very prolonged, very politicized, very distracting, and very disruptive, because there are so many things we need to get done as a country."
Just weeks ago, Rice, a tough and smart rising star in the Obama administration, was the president's top choice to serve as the next Secretary of State. But she drew a lightning storm of Republican criticism for repeating talking points from the intelligence community that seemed to critics to downplay the terrorist attack on the diplomatic compound in Benghazi, Libya.
Now, I gotta say this. Jake Tapper says that she received a lot of Republican criticism, which means, in and of itself, everybody else, they didn't care that Ambassador Stevens was killed. The only critics were Republicans who seemed to make a big deal about one of our people being killed. They were the ones. She faced a firestorm of criticism by the Republicans. Not by the United States, not by the general public, and clearly not by this network. She received a firestorm.
What this began as was a spontaneous.
The concerns I have are greater today than they were before, and we're not even close to getting the basic answer.
It is clear that the information that she gave the American people was incorrect.
The president in a statement today praised Rice, who will stay at her UN post, and expressed regret for, quote, the unfair and misleading attacks on her. ABC News has learned that before her withdrawal, President Obama had concluded that Senator John Kerry would be a better choice to be the nation's top diplomat. With Kerry almost certain to be tapped, sources say former Senator Chuck Hagel, a Nebraska Republican, seems to today have an edge to be the next defense secretary. And in what is being perceived as an expression of presidential support, President Obama will tomorrow meet here at the White House with Ambassador Rice, Diane.
All right, I want to turn to another meeting, though, now, Jake, because behind...
All right, that's not important. Well, it is. It's fiscal cliff stuff. We'll get into that in a second. Now, here's NBC News, who got the exclusive today. They were the ones who got the exclusive today with Condoleezza Rice. And it'll air tonight on Rock Center on NBC with Brian Williams. Now, folks, I want to say one thing. Who's been wanting to talk to Condoleezza Rice more than anybody? And who is the network that didn't cover Susan Rice for the longest? Who was the network, or which were the networks that ignored it until the Petraeus scandal? Well, one of them was NBC News. And where does she go to, quote-unquote, clear her name? Well, she shows up at NBC talking to Brian Williams. Here's his report today.
Hours ago, the U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, sat down in this studio and told us her reasons for notifying the president today. She is withdrawing her name for consideration as Secretary of State. Ambassador Rice became a lightning rod after the attack on our consulate in Benghazi in Libya this past September 11th. Her own remarks afterward became a big political portion of the presidential campaign. In her letter to the president today, she said, quote, I respectfully request that you no longer consider my candidacy at this point. The position of Secretary of State, she said, should never be politicized. In our exclusive conversation with her here today, she outlined her reasoning.
I withdrew my name because I think it's the right thing for the country. And I think it's the right thing for the president. And putting those things together, that makes it the right thing for me and my family. I've all my life been a public servant. I'm not a political person at my foundation. I just want to, as I've had in academia and think tanks and two terms, two administrations of this government, try to do the right thing, and that's what I'm going to continue doing.
Why was it you that Sunday morning, of all the people in government, why the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations answering questions about the attack in Benghazi?
Okay, this is good, folks. This is the first time it's ever been asked to Susan Rice. Why was it you? President Obama says you had nothing to do with it. Why was it you? The president said you had nothing to do with Benghazi. Why was it you? She explains.
Not that unusual. I've done Sunday shows many times in the past. Secretary Clinton had originally been asked by most of the networks to go on. She had had an incredibly grueling week dealing with the protests around the Middle East and North Africa that had enveloped our embassies. She had to deal with the loss of our four colleagues in Benghazi and console the whole State Department, greet the families and the bodies, and she declined to do it. And I was asked by the White House if I would do it as the next senior American diplomat. We were talking about a range of issues that week. It wasn't just Benghazi, as you'll recall. It was a broad spectrum of foreign policy and national security issues that I talk about publicly every day. So I was asked. I was willing to do so. It wasn't what I had planned for that weekend, originally, but I don't regret doing that, Brian. I think when you're a diplomat and a public official and a tragedy happens and it is related to the work that you do, it's our obligation to try to explain it as best we can to the American people, and that's what I did.
Did you explain it the best that you can? No, you didn't. And you were the next official to speak? That's why they put you out there? Not Leon Panetta? Not David Petraeus? What about DNI? The Department of National Intelligence? Not them? They sent you out there? A UN diplomat who President Obama, in his own words, said had nothing to do with Benghazi? You were a flack, and you're being used. We know it, so do you.
Hold yourself out today. Did you want the job?
I would have been very honored to serve in that job, just as I'm delighted to do what I'm doing. But yes, sure. How can you not want to, in my field, serve at the highest possible level?
The interview was conducted for tonight's broadcast of Rock Center at 10, 9 Central Time. You can see much more of it then. For now, for more on what went on behind the scenes of this decision, we want to turn to our Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent, Andrea Mitchell, in our Washington newsroom. Andrea, what happened here?
You know, this is so dramatic, and the personal relationship is central to it. The president is going to see Susan Rice at the White House tomorrow. And Susan Rice's many defenders, Brian, are trying to figure out how Republicans managed to deny the president his top choice for Secretary of State without benefit of a nomination or his...
How did Republicans... do you understand? They're almost putting it as if Republicans were able to go out there and undermine the president, as if this has something to do with him and not with the national security of the United States of America. That's the part
Everything
that I...
Everything revolves around him, though. It's not about... Everything revolves around Barack Obama.
Exactly. Here's Andrea Mitchell.
He's a narcissist.
Here's more of Andrea Mitchell. And listen to how she breaks this down.
Hearing. Tonight the president said she was qualified for the job. Susan Rice was a loyal team player for Barack Obama. Late today he spoke to our Sacramento affiliate, KCRA.
She's done an outstanding job. I could not be prouder with her. She will continue to be one of the top members of my national security team.
Rice's trouble began with those Sunday talk show appearances in September on Benghazi, what looked like a job audition to become Secretary of State.
What happened in Benghazi was, in fact, initially a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired hours before in Cairo.
Now, hold on. Andrea Mitchell says a kind of an audition for Secretary of State to put her out on the 5 Sunday talk shows. It's the first UN, it's the first ambassador to be killed since 1979. And their dealing with this was, let's audition the new broad and put her out there on the Sunday talk shows. That's what we do.
Comments were based on CIA talking points that proved wrong. It was a terror attack, not a protest. Republicans accused Rice of twisting the facts to play politics. The president dramatically defended her.
If Senator McCain and Senator Graham and others want to go after somebody, they should go after me.
But Rice was in limbo, not officially nominated, but being buried under an avalanche of leaks.
I relied solely and squarely on the information provided to me by the intelligence community. I made clear that the information was preliminary.
Rice's request to meet with a Republican critic backfired horribly.
Bottom line, I'm more disturbed now than I was before. We are significantly troubled by many of the answers that we got and some that we didn't get.
For John McCain, many say it was personal. Rice had derided his Iraq policy during the 2008 campaign. But the crushing blow came from a Republican senator, a woman Rice had counted on as an ally.
The UN ambassador decided to play what was essentially a political role at the height of a contentious presidential election in public, the president signaled Rice should tough it out.
This is Rice, extraordinary. Couldn't be prouder of the job that she's done at U.S. Senate.
Hillary Clinton also defended it. Susan Rice has done a great job as our U.N. ambassador, but Republicans didn't back off. That makes John Kerry, the foreign relations chairman, who has undertaken tough secret missions for the...
All right, well, the rest of that is unnecessary. But she says that Susan Rice was undone by a woman who she had relied on to give her some cover. Now, why does Andrea Mitchell say that? Well, folks, unless you're an idiot, you know why. Because Democrats had been using the term because she's black and because she's a woman. Now, they forget that it wasn't just Lindsey Graham and it wasn't just John McCain who was opposing the nomination of Susan Rice as Secretary of State. They completely forgot Senator Ayotte.
What about the people of the United States of America that pay her goddamn salary?
They don't care about that. We're dealing with this from a media vacuum. The bottom line is that they never mention Ayotte. You heard the two sound bites of Lindsey Graham and Senator John McCain. You never hear from Ayotte a woman who opposed her. You don't even know that there was a woman senator who opposed her. But they said the crushing blow came from a moderate Republican woman who everybody thought, nah, this girl, this woman, she's going to back Susan Rice. Oh, damn, she didn't. She's done for. She's done for. Let's go back to Sally B. Hello, Sally.
Well, you know, this subject is one I tried to put behind me, and I heard you talking about it, so I couldn't resist. So the bottom line that really disturbs me is the obvious, and that is we have people that were killed that were serving our country, and it seems as if it just is fallen. This story has just fallen away. You've got the fiscal cliff. That's all you hear about. People are so concerned about it that this story no longer applies. The election's over. I even think conservatives, you want to call them conservatives, people that would have voted or did vote for Romney, now look at this topic as if, well, you know what? It just doesn't matter what we think anymore. They've got the edge. They've got the numbers. It just doesn't matter anymore.
No, Sal, listen to me. If there's anything in the world that you must depend on is the old cliche of the sophomore jinx, my friend. The sophomore jinx. Come on. Reagan had Iran-Contra. Clinton had Lewinsky. George W. Bush had the Iraq War. And
yeah.
Now it's Barack Obama's time, or turn, I should say, for the sophomore jinx. And you have to remember, the Fast and Furious thing is not over. And neither is Benghazi. Because although Hillary Clinton is claiming that she may not testify in front of the joint, in front of the committee, she will testify next week. I think it's next Monday or Tuesday. She will be there, and there are going to be – in fact, it was just reported on CNN earlier today that there is new information that says the security detail that Ambassador Stevens was supposed to have was a colossal screw-up at the highest levels of Washington.
Do you see – you think this thing continues to stick around because of the nature of the story, and you think eventually people in this administration either are impeached or even not at Obama's level, but they're resigned. You see people resigning. You see anything coming out of this?
I see people getting tossed left and right. I see people firing. Did you hear that, you know, people in the Fast and Furious case, there have been like four recommendations for firing at the ATF and at the Department of at the the Attorney General's office. There have been requests for people to be fired because more and more information has been revealed about that. It's just that it hasn't been covered in the news. You'd have to search to find out these stories, but they're there. This administration is being completely gutted.
Well, I hope you're right, because this is the only way that, you know, there's got to be something left in this country where justice is done. I mean, it just seems like this, as what does Kuna call them, the regime,
right,
which I love, but they just operate thinking that they can do whatever they want. There's no repercussion to any of these things, and let's hope you're right. Let's hope you're right. I just don't know if the American people have their eye on this. Media's not covering it. And when the media doesn't cover a story like this, it does fade from the average person's mind when all they can think about is can they pay their bills. So
yeah, you're right.
I hope you're right.
You know what?
I hope you're right.
But again, it's got to be articulated in a way, and again, I've always said this, it's got to be articulated in a way to the low-info voter, the low-info American, in a way that sensationalizes it so they cannot get away from it, and that it's right on their plate every morning. We've got, you know, every story in some way has got to be, you know, look, we wouldn't even have a real Benghazi story being covered in mainstream media if not for the Petraeus scandal. That's what brought it to the forefront. That's the reason why, you know, Susan Rice is now a topic all over the news.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, when we get back, I got Harry Belafonte audio. You're going to love this. Stick around. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo.
Reese on the Radio, we are back and we are live right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is about 20 minutes to the top of the hour. And Harry Belafonte. Now look, I was never ever a fan of Harry Belafonte. I can't name one movie of his. Only thing I know about him is absolutely novice, okay? And you know what that is. Dale! Dale! Daylight come on me, one go home. Daylight come on me, one go home. Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. Daylight come on me, one go home. Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. Daylight come on me, one go home. Day, me say day, eh, oh. Daylight. like, come on, me one go home. Me say they like, come on, me one go home. That's it. But apparently, oh man, you have got to be a child from my era to appreciate what I'm about to do today. First, let me play you the audio of this fool-ass Negro, Harry Belafonte. Please let me play for you this fool-ass Negro's comments that he made on Al Sharpton's Politics Nation show today, talking about people who do not agree with President Obama. Just listen real quick.
There was a great question during the first election as to whether or not Barack would even be elected. And after the turnout so emphatically put him in the presidency, it was interesting to watch the second turn when everybody really didn't quite know what the game would be. Well, the American people in their maturity declared themselves fully. We want what Barack Obama is talking about. We want the country to go in that direction. And what fascinates me is that in the face of millions of Americans expressing their desire, the whole political establishment defining its game, that there should be this lingering infestation of really corrupt people who sit trying to dismantle the wishes of the people, the mandate that has been given.
Listen to what he said. Infestation. The infestation of people who were opposed to President Obama. An infestation. Folks, that's termites. That's rats. That's bugs. That's beetles. Infestation.
The establishment defining its game. That there should be this lingering infestation of really corrupt people.
Corrupt people. Infestation of these corrupt people. Those who were opposed to the President of the United States. Forget about the fact, Harry Belafonte, that the President only won by 3 million votes and Mitt Romney got 60. Yeah. 60. 60 million people have voted against this president. They're an infestation. But listen to more.
Who sit trying to dismantle the wishes of the people, the mandate that has been given to Barack Obama. And I don't know what more they want. The only thing left for Barack to Obama to do is to work like a third world dictator and just put all these guys in jail. They're violating the American desire.
Violating the American desire. They didn't all vote for him, stupid. They didn't all vote for President Obama. I mean, in essence, he won by half. He got 3 million more than his opponent. That's not the American people in a consensus, if you will. That's how the election is won. Electoral votes do that. I don't think that we should get rid of the Electoral College. I know so many people do. I do not believe that. I understand how the Electoral College works. But you can't say that the American people have made a mandate. There's buzzards in the goddamn mandate. But here's what I want you people to hear. Just pay attention real quick, okay? I just want people to hear this.
There was a great question during the first election as to whether or not Barack would even be elected. And after the turnout so emphatically put him in the presidency, it was interesting to watch the second turn when everybody really didn't quite know what the game would be.
Now, you've heard that. Now I want you to hear this. Doesn't Harry Belafonte sound eerily like this?
Sound waves superior, constructor gods inferior.
Doesn't he sound like that? Listen again. That's radio. This is what he sounds like. Listen to him talk.
It was a great question during the first election as to whether or not Barack would even be elected. And after the turnout so emphatically put him in the presidency, it was interesting to watch the second turn when everybody really didn't quite know what the game would be.
Sound wave superior, constructor gods inferior.
He sounds like Soundwave from Transformers. Tell me, I know you guys agree. Come on, Sal. Tell me it doesn't sound like that.
You know, I don't know if he's a transformer, but he's definitely – Harry Belafonte's been crazy for, what, like 15 years, 20 years now? He did that god-awful movie with what was it, White Man Anger or something?
Oh,
what
White Man
movie?
Bird.
What was the movie you're talking about? White Man Guilt?
White Man Bird was it John Travolta?
Yeah, I think you're right. He takes him hostage or something.
Yes, exactly. All the black people in the world take the place of the white people in the world. The white people are prominent, and the blacks are the niggas, if you will.
Yeah, and, you know, so he's been this way for years, and I hear a guy like that, and I just kind of laugh. I mean, he's crazy, but what worries me at a bigger level with this kind of thinking is that the people that did vote Obama and the people that do support him do feel they have a mandate and the right to do whatever it is they want and espouse whatever they want. And like you said, 3 million votes. Now, hey, that's still 3 million votes. I'll give you that. That's not a thin margin. But hardly, like you say, hardly a overwhelming mandate.
Oh, absolutely. But they're ignoring it, though. Because in essence, if you lose, you're of no consequence. I mean, that's the way liberals look at this. You know, if a Republican president, like, you know, a perfect example, you know, you look at the 2000 election, right? And what all of that was about, you know, it came down to a couple thousand votes, without a doubt. The object was to win Florida, right? The whole object is to win Florida. You know, it's literally, you know, it's voted, okay, he wins Florida. Everyone argued, he stole the election, he stole the election, he stole Florida. His brother's the governor. And then 2004 rolls around, he's reelected. What happens? What happens in Florida? Was there any contention in Florida? Not one bit. It turned out to be the state of Ohio in 2004. Now, I would make the solid argument that goes just like this. If somebody robbed your house, Sal, you know, does that mean that the next time around you take the locks off the door and you say, screw it, they're just going to come in and take it anyway? You know, or do you fortify your home to make sure it doesn't happen again? I mean, that's the whole thing the ADT commercials are all about. Neighbor gets robbed. Say again?
Are you under the impression that, you know, the part I'm having trouble with going forward with the mindset that conservatives can go into the next election the same party, I do not see the demographics of this country ever going the way if it didn't happen this election. And I'm still not 100% convinced there wasn't a significant level of fraud involved. I find it hard to believe that if you took all the people that were voting illegally and if you took out the fraud, that he wins. I just can't come to terms with that. And I could be wrong, but I cannot come to terms with that. I'm still convinced there's some kind of something wasn't right about this election. You got 50,000.
Even if that's the case, let's try this on for size, right? Let's look at this from a perspective of doing what I know you do well, I do well, you know, and a lot of people we know do very, very well. And that is analyzing this from a place of history, if you will. George W. Bush, right, is at his final term in, you know, his final term in office. It's 2007 going into 2008 in the election. The election happens in November, right? And Barack Obama wins, what, 349 electoral votes? It's a landslide. I mean, only 52% voted for him versus 48, you know, over McCain. But electoral votes-wise, it's a shellacking, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's an ass-whipping. Okay, so President Obama, you know, 349, this time, what did he get, just over 300, 303 electoral votes this time around. So it's obvious that the popularity, it's dwindling, right? It's on a slope right now. Now I want you to think about this from the level of this. The economy does not do better. The norm, we're talking about the next 4 years. The norm becomes multi-generational households, which was NBC reported today. Multi-generational households are good for the family. NBC tried to report that today. I almost laughed my ass off. Even though we know that we haven't seen that since the Depression, right? So now that's a norm. That's a new norm. Now people start to see that, and it goes on and on and on. So the next time around, the election comes out, 2016, if it's Hillary, if it's anybody else, John Kerry, whomever, right? They are now linked to the Obama administration, no matter what, right? They're linked to it. And all a conservative has to do is say, look, I know you reelected this guy. Remember, we reelected George W. Bush after the Iraq and the Afghanistan war. And you saw what happened to the economy afterwards. Here it is, President Obama. You had the worst unemployment rate since the Great Depression for some groups. He was still reelected, but he was still elected by only 3 million votes. And it's continuously declined, and our world got worse. And we're going to elect somebody that was affiliated with the same administration, the same thing they did to McCain, just like Bush, just like Bush. Don't you think that the next opposition is going to be nothing more than just like Obama, just like Obama? Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Look at your homes. Look at your – Obama's got nothing. Sure, he'll go out there and he'll show up at the Democratic National Convention in September of 2016. Of course he will. But guess what? The stigma, the stink, the funk of the Obama administration in 2 years, nobody's going to reelect that. And they're going to be a clear example. They're just going to look, I dealt with 4 years of Obama. He's finally gone. There are two white guys that are elected. I no longer have to feel the guilt of nominating a nigga. I'm done. He's done. He's over with. Yes, we're no longer a racist country. Now I got to move on and I got to be responsible now. Now my vote's got to count. Now I can't have more policies than the people who are a part of this and this downturn. We took it in the ear for this guy just so we can look good for ourselves. And now I can't take it anymore. My grandkids can't take it anymore. I suffered through it. I went through it because I was trying to be a good soldier and I can't do it anymore. We're going in another direction. Don't think there's a possibility that's going to happen this time around? Come on, Sal. Seriously.
It's a possibility. But it's
Sal,
also a possibility.
Did you see how – listen, think about this, okay? September 11th, people were jumping out of windows. The president of the United States, 9 months in, a guy who they just accused of stealing the election, 9 months ago, 10 months ago, I apologize, 10 months ago, stands at the foot of the World Trade Center with a bullhorn and says, somebody says, we can't hear you. Well, the people who did this, they're going to hear us real soon. The guy who stole the election's approval rating went to 68%. And by the end of it, it was at 38. At 38, President Barack Obama's approval rating today is 49. He's never seen 68. Never.
Barack Obama can't run again.
Well,
and
No. Neither could Bush. But guess what they did to McCain? They attached him to the hip of George W. Bush. They did it successfully.
McCain, I was afraid of McCain. I thought he was going to die in office. I mean, you know, who's the next in line 4 years from now? When you look at candidates, you know, they run Herman Cain out of there, get his hand caught in the cookie jar.
Herman Cain can run again because that scandal stuff, that's done with now. Herman Cain can run again.
How so? It's still out there.
I don't care if it's still out there. Go out, this time he could go out there and say, show me some goddamn proof. Give me a soiled panty.
Well, you know what, though? I wish it were true, but I think because he backed out of it, I think that question will always be there, and it'll come up again. I just don't see it happening. But, you know, at the end of the day, there is no defined candidate for the Republicans. Hillary Clinton is really well-liked by
No. Don't believe the hype, my friend. Don't believe the hype. Hillary is not well-liked. She's liked amongst Democrats, but she's hated amongst several women. And let me tell you why. Because she didn't kick Bill Clinton's ass when he cheated on her. And he repeatedly cheated on her. They find her as weak. A lot of chicks do not like Hillary. Don't be stunned by that. Because remember, they had the chance. We have to really think about the factors here. They had the chance. Hillary Clinton, who said in New Hampshire, okay, Manchester, New Hampshire, she was overheard telling some of her constituents, telling them that it was her lineage to be the president of the United States. Entitled. That's the word. She was entitled. And what did they do to Hillary Clinton? They all turned their back on her. They turned their back on her.
Fair enough.
She was born to do this.
And think about it. They had a choice by electing Hillary Clinton, which would get their favorite son, Bill Clinton, back in the White House, back in Washington. And who did they choose? They chose Barack Obama instead.
Well, you know what? If we still have a country,
she gave her speech at the Democratic National Convention. Do you know what the big question was on everybody's lips? Do you think that she united the party tonight?
They chose a Black History Month speech.
So you have to consider that. Hillary's not a shoo-in.
No, I agree, because I think also she'll be 4 years older, and she's already looking a little bit tired, but I'm not so sure. You know, the Republicans, I still believe, they need to regroup, they need to rethink some of the, and I've heard arguments on both sides. I've heard the Limbaughs say, don't change the party, stick to your core values, but I do think that if
you've got to get some older guys out of there.
You're right. Listen, get some young blood in there. We've got Ted Cruz. We've got Marco Rubio. We've got Paul Ryan. These are rising stars. You know, we've got some rising stars in the Republican Party, man, that we could really, really get out there on the forefront. Now's the time to move. I'm telling you, it's going
to
happen.
They've got 4 years to shine. But, I mean, they're really going to have to scrape out that old money. Get that old money up out of there.
You're right about that, Jason.
Anything that looks or remotely resembles Cheney, gotta go. Yeah.
That's our show for tonight, folks. Sally B, of course, thank you. And Magneto, thank you for calling in. Edward, I'm sorry I didn't get to you, man. I'm sorry. You knew it was the end. I know you hung up because it was the end of the show. Folks, we will see you tomorrow. For, of course, our end of the week show, our Friday show. And we'll see you then. Same bad time, same bad channel. Thank you for riding with us as usual, as always. I'm Reese on the Radio for Mary, Mary, and Jake, the producer. I'm your host, Reese on the Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm serious, leaving you curious. How did he do that? Who that master man with the master plan? He's thinking faster than the slower.